Huh? Yeah, right. Yeah. We got a button that stops the clock for a while. Okay. I'll leave these out. Okay, well, the thermometer on the van said 60 today. I don't know if it was lying or not, but we can take it. Yeah. February in Wisconsin. Does that mean we get another 16 inches to pay for that? There are the new daily breads out there if you're interested. This is March, April, May. So, got flowers on it, so maybe sometime in there we'll see some. Okay, we're looking at tonight the high cost of sin. Looking at Samuel, 2 Samuel rather, 12. And, excuse me, don't mean to put y'all asleep here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us a straight shot. You don't have teacher's pets that you let get away with things that nobody else could get away with. You don't have a two-tier justice system. Seems like what we got in some parts of the country. You deal with people no matter whether they're the king or who they are. And we pray that we'd learn from David's mistakes, that we wouldn't be tempted to try something like that ourselves, because he didn't get away with it, and we wouldn't either. So we just pray you guide us, help us to learn tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what do they say? Sin always has a payday someday. What else they say? They will always find you out. You'll reap what you sow. What do they say? Nowadays, it's what goes around comes around. You know? we can trick people and make it look like we're getting away with something, but it catches up with us. I don't have a particular article in mind now, but you've probably read some too, that, you know, with the new modern DNA stuff that they have, sometimes they go back and they open up old cold cases that they couldn't figure out before, you know, 30, 40 years later, and they find out, oh, this belongs to this guy, and they go and arrest him, you know. He thought, man, I got away with that. Nobody knows. Yeah, well, God always knows, all right, and we're not going to fool him. So there is a cost. You do something wrong today, doesn't necessarily mean the hammer's going to fall tomorrow. God's not walking around. We don't want to get the wrong idea. God's not walking around with a baseball bat just waiting for somebody to do him wrong and smack him one, okay? But he does believe in discipline. And what does God really want from us? Okay, he wants us to obey, but if we sin, what does he want us to do then? Repent, right? That doesn't mean just call it by a different name, whitewash it, try to excuse it. Well, everybody else is doing it. What other excuses we might be able to come up with? No, he wants us to acknowledge it. And when we're basically saying we're admitting to God, that what you're saying about this sin is true and accurate. We're in agreement with you, and we're asking you to forgive us. But David was trying to hide his sin. He thought he was going to get away with it, and it looked like he did for a while. But, you know, people try all kinds of things today. I've seen, like, I've heard of this one a couple times. They'll go into somebody's house, kill them, and then they set the house on fire, thinking that's going to destroy all the evidence. Except all the neighbors have a camera that saw them go in and out, you know, so. Or they'll leave something behind. They'll somehow, they find out who did it. And that's kind of, not that Nathan is the detective, that he's figured it all out, okay, that he's checked David's DNA and Bathsheba's and everybody else involved, or had the cameras unloaded from the palace. But he was God's spokesman. He was the one that God used to talk to David. And probably not everybody had the, what do they say, godly guts, intestinal fortitude to go and talk to the king and point out where you've gone wrong. Okay, I don't think David was the kind like we read in Babylonian times where, you know, you said the wrong thing to them, they kill you. Or in Russia, you're wake up dead in the morning if you're against Putin. But he says there's a cost. And it doesn't always happen, you know, the day after, the next week, month, year. You know, it may be a good long time. And we might think, well, got by with that one, okay? And it's been a while now for David. But he says it has an effect, and it affects us in a number of different ways. I'll look at a couple of them here tonight. One of them, it sours our spirit. Why? Okay, you're a believer, you do some, okay, sin is sin to God, but from our perspective, we tend to grade them, you know, good, bad, and otherwise. We'll say we did from human perspective, we did a pretty bad sin. How would that go about souring our spirit? If we think we got away from it, we got what we wanted, and there doesn't seem to be any immediate repercussions, why would we turn sour? Yeah. Guilt has something to do with that, doesn't it? Okay. We may, now he doesn't, if he is convicted, God's convicting him, the Holy Spirit's convicting him of his sins, helping him to feel miserable over it. But, you can, at least for a while, kind of brush off the Holy Spirit, ignore it, hope it goes away. You know, I'm not going to let that bother me, whatever. He's just kind of going on with life, thinking everything's going to work out fine. Now, again, we don't know. I don't want to try to read a lot into the scriptures. But just, okay, if it was today, okay, it happened to somebody in our day and age. Just their day-to-day life. How do you think it might, what might change as far as their lifestyle or habits or whatever it would be? Might have some health problems, okay.
Anger,
yeah. Get ticked off, all right, yeah.
They justify it, and then they can do something more horrible the next time. They just kind of brush it off.
Right. One sin leads to another, doesn't it? That's what worked with David. Mess around with somebody else's wife, got away with it, you know, thinks maybe I'd like to keep her around here permanently, but we got a problem. We got to get rid of the husband. So he comes up with a plan to do that. I'm not trying to add to scripture. I'm just trying to think. Do you think he's a regular attender down at the temple? Yeah, because that might make you feel a little uncomfortable, wouldn't it? Think maybe he's praying as much as he used to? Or dragging out the scrolls and having a little read now and again? Right. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's just kind of a gradual thing that we just kind of back away from God. And what do they say? If you notice that there's a bit of separation between you and God, what? God didn't move. It was you. All right? It's us backing away from God. And that's kind of what's happening to David here. Again, we don't know all this that happened. I'm kind of surmising that. Okay? But again, you start doing that stuff and you kind of get miserable. You've probably come across some miserable Christians somewhere along the way, haven't you? And they're usually mad at somebody or something. Something didn't go right, and then so they quit church or, go whenever they happen to feel like it. Kind of got a sour spirit. He says there in Psalm 32:4, he said, the moisture is turned unto the drought of summer. Okay. He's kind of feeling like a dried up old man. And again, no signs of repentance. It's been going on about a year now, and he doesn't seem to be making any moves to repent. See, that's the thing. God is, what does it say? God is long suffering, isn't he? All right. He's trying to, and I don't like the word chance, but he's given us another opportunity to recognize what we've done wrong, make the necessary changes, get back right relationship with him. But if we tend to go on and on, and he's given us some hints, some nudges along the way, and we're not paying any attention, it's likely, and again, this is from my thinking, others might disagree with me, my thinking and my own experience, God tends to turn up the heat. Kind of like maybe parents, you ask the kids to do something once or twice and it's still not done. And sometimes we get a little louder. Okay. We're trying to get their attention. Well, we don't know all the things that Lord might have been doing trying to get David's attention, but it didn't apparently seem to work. And so sometimes God will bring somebody else into your life. And, they'll probably tell you things that you don't want to hear. And sometimes you might be that one. You're trying to talk to some friend or relative that claims to know the Lord, and you're trying to point them in the right direction, and they don't really want to hear about it. Well, David didn't want to hear about it either, but he really couldn't tell Nathan to take a hike. Okay. Nathan had a bit more clout than anybody else around, and so God sends Nathan to him, and you know the story. He tells David the story, okay? So you got two men in a city. You got a rich man, a poor man. A rich man owns lots of flocks and sheep and everything else, and the poor man, he's only got one little lamb that's treated like a pet. Company comes to the rich man's house. Instead of going out and get one out of his own flock, he takes the poor guy's little lamb and cooks that up for lunch. And, what do you think about that, David? Oh, he's mad. it says there in verse 4 and 5, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die. And David also commands the rich man, he shall repay the poor man fourfold. And then we know what happens. Nathan looks him in the eye, says, thou art the man. Wow. I'm sure David was kind of looking around for a hole to fall into about that time. You know, don't care if you are the king, you're it. All right. You know, I like here, he points out, it's one thing to steal somebody else's lamb, something else to steal somebody else's wife. And, you know, and kill her husband. Yeah, it's, well, you hear it on the news sometimes. The crazy way the justice system works. What did I read here the other day? And lots of times I'm only read a part of the article, but probably enough to get the gist of the idea. I can't even remember. I think it was in New York. Doesn't matter. But some guy ends up attacking a Amazon driver. And the Amazon driver's, you know, kind of fighting for his life. And knocks the guy down and everything. And anyway, somehow the police show up. Who gets arrested? Amazon guy, you know, the other guy is intoxicated and everything else, you know, but it's, and you probably, you know, you probably aren't a driver for Amazon, get arrested and still keep your job, you know, doesn't look good. Or the ones that the guy's trying to break into your house and falls through the ceiling, breaks a leg and he sues you. You know, and wins. Thing is, our system of justice is sometimes really messed up, you know. But it didn't work that way with God. God doesn't have a sliding scale. God, he doesn't care who you are. If you're the king or the president or the president's kid or whoever, you don't get special treatment, all right? And so God is going to deal with him. We'll touch on this later on here, but the numbers don't exactly match. But what did David say? He would have to repay how many fold?
Four.
Okay, I'm thinking maybe there's a missing one. But it tells us later on that David had three sons that died a violent death. That's just the ones we know about. David had lots of kids. There might be another one in there that just we don't know about, okay? But it's like, okay, you kill Uriah. Now we're going to take out three or four of your own, you know? what goes around comes around. We reap what we sow. There's a cost of sin. You may think you got away with it for a while, but whoa, the dividends, that it's a high cost there. And then he brings out this, the one that's, again, can hit us kind of between the eyes. We get picky on somebody, you know, we're fussing with them about some little thing. And we're reminded of Matthew 7:3, and why beholdest thou the mote, that little bitty speck, all right, that's in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam, the telephone pole that's sticking out of your own eye, right? And I mentioned this when we talked about friendship. I'm going to get a rerun on the radio here this one in the near future on that friendship thing. But I don't know. Some people must think that critical spirit is some kind of spiritual gift, or at least they work at it real hard, you know. And I don't know if it's just a habit or they really intent to just be negative about everything. And all they see is whatever somebody else does wrong. You know, it's like, go look in the mirror once in a while, you know. When you get your own act together, then you come talk to me, you know. And I'm not saying that because somebody's picking on me right now, because they're not. But, there is a reap what we sow. And sooner or later, you know, I haven't told any of them this yet. I've been tempted. I even wrote out something one time I was going to give to somebody, but I still haven't given it. It's all wrinkled up now because I've been carrying it around for so long. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're critical with people. I don't know, maybe they're the recipients of that. Maybe it's their other half at home that's given them fits, and they just pass it on to everybody else. But, yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't like being around people like that. It rubs off, you know? And, so we have to be careful that we aren't real critical. Like even David, you know, he's coming down hard on this guy. And he couldn't seem to see his own problems, but boy, he didn't miss the other guy's problem at all. So it sours our spirit and makes us have an attitude or something that other people don't appreciate and don't want to be around. Secondly here, sin scorns God, okay? It reflects back on God, you know, and Nathan gives him a bit of a reminder. And sometimes we all need to be reminded because we forget sometimes. You know, sometimes we moan and groan about one thing or another, something we think we should have got a better deal or something, and it didn't turn out that way, and we don't realize, and I know I've told you this story before, but it's a good one, so I keep using it. But I remember sitting at a long red light over by my house, and I'm fussing, you know, got in a hurry, got to get going. And here, this is back before they smoothed all the curbs out so you could get down easy with a wheelchair and up the other side. And this guy's got his wheelchair, and he's flops one wheel down the other, and he gets across, and then he's fighting to try to get up on the other side. And I'm thinking, man, I think I got troubles. This guy's got to go through this every day, you know? Kind of puts things in perspective, you know? And sometimes we need a perspective, you know? Sometimes we get one. we don't realize how good we've got it till what? The electricity goes out for a couple of days. We don't have any lights. We don't have any heat. I don't know if any of you thought about it. It's like, okay, remember the early days of the war in Ukraine and the people are living in their basements and they have, some of them don't have any water. They don't have electricity. They don't have any heat. You know, they're hovering around some little lamp of some kind trying to warm up or something. You know, sometimes we don't miss or we don't realize what we got till it's gone, all right? And Nathan points out to David that, you know, God's really been good to you, you know? And the devil's advocate. sometimes I've taken the other side. I'm not always agreeing with people when they're having their own little pity party. You know, you want to, okay, there's some compassion there, but let's get a realistic look. You know, look at how God's helped you out X number of times, you know, and sometimes I've known people for a long, long time and I can remember some of those things and bring it back. You remember when God did this and this and this and this for you? You know, don't be so ready to cash in the chips. All right. And so he says, God gave you Saul's house. All right. He inherited the palace. Now, maybe he didn't like the way it was furnished, but he got he got Saul's house, the palace. You know, he got part of the kingdom. He just had Judah start with, but eventually he gets the northern tribes that come in and are part of it. And so he ends up with all of Israel, all Judah. He is king over the whole bunch. Okay? And we see here, you know, God helps him to win one battle after another battle. You remember when it came, we saw this here. I didn't remember the passage, but basically David gives a gift to help build the temple. And he's given tons worth of gold and silver and all this stuff. You know, God blessed him. You know, he'd run out of fingers and toes trying to keep track of how God had blessed him. You know, and he kind of really lays it on the line for him. He says, God says, after all I've done for you, how could you do this? You know? And thing is, sometimes people do that to each other. And not picking on anybody, but sometimes probably one of the severe cases is when people get a divorce. They may just not get along to start with, but before they're all over with, they hate one another because they've been fighting. If they're not, the lawyer's throwing gasoline on the fire, you know, and they forget about what the other person's done for them through the years. But sometimes we do that to God. We're never satisfied. We always want something more. He says the devil leads us into sin when we forget about how good God has been to us and we stop being thankful. You know, that'll be an exercise that we do every once in a while. And I don't care if you number 1 to 25 or if you do the alphabet or something, but just sit there and look around your house and you think about family and friends and others and thank God for them. You know, it's kind of a reality check that, you know, God is good to me. And he says there, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So when we sin, we get out of fellowship with God. We can possibly end up with a sour spirit. We can scorn God, you know, being dissatisfied with God. You know, like I say, you run into people that are mad at God for one reason or another. What else do we miss out on? Let's say you're out of fellowship with God for 5 years.
Blessings.
God's got blessings he wants to give us, but he can't when we're sinning. Okay? That's like rewarding a kid when he's being rotten. Or not to pick on kids. People, adults can be rotten too. But you don't reward bad behavior, right? And God doesn't either. Now, this is a fable, okay? This is not anything in the Bible, all right? But I think it kind of makes the point. Guy gets to heaven, and he's walking down the street. Of course, it's some angel giving him the tour. You know, and they're seeing all these big, like, pole barns, big storage things. And it's, what is in them? You know, so, well, let's go inside and look. And he opens the door and looks up and it's stacked from floor to ceiling. You know, what are all these? Well, these are blessings that God wanted to give his people, but he wasn't able to because they were sinning. You know, and you think, wow, how many things have I missed out on, you know? It wasn't that I just didn't get my allowance for a couple of weeks. It's like God had some really good stuff that he wanted to give me, but he couldn't. He couldn't reward the bad behavior. So we end up losing when we're out of fellowship with God because we're not in fellowship with our best friend. And then we lose the blessings that he could bestow upon us. And, that in itself is pretty good reason to start out obeying God and seek to do your best not to sin. Not see how close I can get to this without sinning, right? Because the devil's got a way of sucking us in. Okay, so David continues on with David. He said, You didn't just take his lamb. You didn't just take his wife. You killed Uriah the Hittite so you could have his wife. And he says, because of that, the sword's never going to leave your family, okay, or this house. And the idea is, why you're going to be fighting somebody for the rest of your life, okay? And they continued battles. Now you get into with Solomon and some of them, and it'll say that they had peace with their enemies. But David doesn't. There's always somebody to fight. And then and as I mentioned earlier, he says the sword does never leave David's house because three of his sons, Ammon, Absalom, and Adonijah, all die violent deaths. Okay, so it's like he's just getting one smack after another. And then just the cherry on top, you know, really to insult David. Okay, so you've got how many wives now and concubines and everything else, a whole lot more than you need. He's going to humiliate him. And it talks about this. Basically, when David is run out of town by his own son, Absalom, you know, and the wives are still there. And they're saying they're like on the roof. Apparently, everybody knows that that's where they're at. To fully humiliate David, they go in and have sexual relationships with his wives. You know, his own son does. You know, well, Absalom doesn't turn out very well either. Remember, how did he end up? Wasn't he the one hair hanging in the tree with a sword stuck in him? Yeah. Reap what you sow, you know. Sometimes people don't have their head screwed on. These are grown people. These are adults. These are not, you know, somebody that doesn't know any better. Okay? These are not people with special problems, you know. Well, they have problems, but they end up dying as a result of it. And so, like I said, David may have thought, at least for a little while, that he was getting away with it. But you start adding this up, and man, he came out the loser time after time after time. You know, if he's drawing that little line down the paper, you know, positives and negatives, he's not coming up with anything to write on the positive side. Well, yeah, he might have got Bathsheba, but we remember he also lost his son. You know, so there's another minus. And okay, well, let's learn from his mistakes. Who knows what we're going to get tempted with this week, next month? Just remember David, all right? God's not blind, all right? He knows what's going on, and he's the one who can respond to it. He loves us. He wants to care for us. He's got his best in mind for us. But sometimes we walk away from God's best. You know, we think we got a better idea, kind of like Jonah. God said, go this way, and I'm going to go that way. It didn't work out real good for him. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this real life situation happening to the king, too. It wasn't just the janitor at the palace that nobody else knew about. Everybody in the kingdom would have known exactly what happened before it's all over with. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be wise in decisions that we make. We know Satan's going to tempt us. He's going to make something look really good that's ultimately going to come back and bite us later on. We pray that you'd help us to be wise and have courage enough to say no, to walk away from it rather than yield to it and suffer the consequences of it. Again, it may not be immediate consequences, but it'll catch up with us sooner or later. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see. Everybody get...
prayer sheets, but also